You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, consider yourself, are you wise? Maybe before you answer the question, we have to understand what that means. So think about it like this. In every circumstance of life, do you think about what you know about that particular circumstance, and then do you take action according to what you know? That would be someone who is wise. So what is a fool? A fool is someone who has knowledge about the situation, but then does something else rather than acting upon the knowledge that he has. So that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. A lot of people know, but are we taking what we know and acting upon it, or are we ignoring what we know and going in another direction? That would be the difference between a wise person and a fool. Since God has taken radical action to make us his holy children through the work of Jesus Christ, today as we get into Ephesians chapter 5, God is going to instruct us even more now as to how to go forward in life as ones who have been made holy in Christ. So we're in Ephesians 5, we're picking up in verse 6, and St. Paul wrote, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So empty words. How do we know whether words are empty or whether words are full? What is the basis of our evaluation when we think about different words? I think some people proceed in this way. So they hear the words and they're thinking, that makes sense. That feels right. That fits in with my desire. Maybe they make statements like that to be able to say, I like those words, I'm going to go with those words. Is that a good way to be, though? It's a dangerous way to be. We think about this famous quote by Sir Francis Bacon. Maybe you've heard it before, but think about how true it is. He wrote, "People prefer to believe what they prefer to be true." Think about that. People prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. So people prefer to believe that all people go to heaven. So some people believe that all people go to heaven. People prefer to believe that good people go to heaven. So people then choose to believe that good people go to heaven. You know, what people have is a preference. Oftentimes, they lock that right in and make that their belief. That's a dangerous thing, though, because those words, those kinds of beliefs are empty. And what did Paul say? Those kinds of beliefs lead to the wrath of God. Think about this quote by Lenski. He wrote, "When sinners persist, disregard patient grace, intensify their disobedience, and literally challenge God, his wrath finally strikes the sinner down." So we have man's ideas and we have God's ideas. God wants us to know they're very different, and he's saying, stop listening to man's ideas, stop making them your own, reject those ideas, realize that they will bring the wrath of God, and instead, go with my truth. We see the classic example of that as we come to Acts chapter 17, as we hear of this account with the Bereans living in modern-day Turkey. When Paul came to them to preach, how did they respond to Paul? It tells us here that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I mean, think about that. A lot of people knew about Paul, how he was such a persecutor of Christians. And then they heard how he had been converted, and they heard how he was being very bold now in teaching the truth of God, and now he shows up in their town. And they're very eager to hear what he has to say. But they made the determination, and they said, we're going to be excited about hearing him. We're going to take it in. Maybe we're even going to take down notes. But we're not going to make it our own belief until we compare what he said with what the Bible says. If they agree, we'll go with it. If they don't agree, forget about Paul. We're going with the Word of God. That's how God wants us to be too. So I don't encourage you to believe anything I say. I hope you come here to Bethlehem with eagerness to hear the Word of God. And then I hope that you go home and say, I'm going to check that guy out. I'm not quite sure about what he said. I'm going to make sure that what he said agrees with God's holy word. So that's always a good way to proceed. And then in verse 7, Paul wrote, therefore, do not become partners with them. In other words, he's saying, don't become partners with those who are holding on to these words that are meaningless. Don't be like that. Don't become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So at one time we were condemned in our sins, but now God has made us new in Christ. So he's saying, don't go back to your life how it was. Back when you were condemned in your sins, you were listening and taking hold of all kinds of empty words. Don't do that anymore. That's in the past. Now that you are in Christ, hold on to the words of God. That's what becomes important now. And then going on here to the next section, we see a sharp contrast. So the Bible says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So walk as children of light, discovering what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we know how to walk as children of light unless we know what God's word says? So he's saying his word is light, so know what it says and then walk or live according to it. And then he gave three specifics there. He talked about good, right, and true. So God is saying to us that knowing his word now, we are to do good. As we do good, that means to live a moral life. As we do good, we are kind of like a light showing others then how to go forward in their lives. We are to do right. So that means to do in agreement with God's word. We have to know what it says in order to be able to do it. And then he says to be true. So no lying, no deceiving, be honest, be sincere with other people. In verse 11, he wrote, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So with these unfruitful works of darkness, we shouldn't just ignore them, but Paul is asking us to do a tough thing. God is asking us to do a tough thing by pointing them out, by exposing them. Think about the box I have up here that I used with the kids. So there's darkness in the box. When we turned on the light, it exposed what was in there. So God is saying to point out these things that are not right. And why is that necessary? Sometimes the people who are doing what is wrong are very well aware that it is wrong, but there are also plenty of other people who are truly spiritually blind and spiritually dead, and they have no idea that it's wrong. So by pointing it out to them, we are exposing that to them, and hopefully it is exposed in such a way that God will bring them to sorrow for sin and to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's getting at here. It does say here that it is shameful even to speak of such things, but it's not shame in exposing it, but rather it's the shame of those who are involved in it. So keep that in mind with that verse. And then in verse 13 it says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. So again, going back to the box, The idea is that when the light was turned on, now it became visible. So again, that's what God wants us to do. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5? He said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." So we're not like the sun. Jesus is the sun. We are rather like the moon. So the moon has no light in itself, but what does the moon do? It reflects the light of the sun. So Jesus was saying to his followers, "I'm the sun, you guys are the moon, so reflect my light in the world so others can see the truth." So they can see the truth of their sin, they can see the truth of who I am, of what I have done, and they can be saved. And then it goes on in the Bible and says, "Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" That's really a statement that we could say to someone who is dead in his sins. By telling them to awake from their deadness, we're indicating that they are dead. And why are they dead? Because they are not sorry for their sins, because they do not have faith in Jesus Christ. So we're saying, wake up from that deadness, and as it goes on to say, Christ will shine on you. So really, it's a law and gospel kind of a statement there. So by saying the statement, that's all we can do is say it, but then we pray that the Holy Spirit would work through the statement in such a way to make the people aware of their dreadful condition in their sin, and then to give them the gift of Jesus Christ, by which they will have forgiveness and life and salvation and many other wonderful blessings. In the third section here, we are finding out the importance of being wise in how we live. So I want to set this up a little bit by mentioning some things that are basically total opposites. So because of the extreme differences between total darkness and brilliant light, the differences between empty words and saying the truth, the differences between being dead in sin and alive in Christ, the differences between the torments of hell versus the joys of heaven. Because of all kinds of things like that, Paul wrote, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So if we're walking through a room and there's a lot of clutter on the floor, we're going to have to walk kind of carefully so we don't trip and fall. God is saying we live in a world full of spiritual clutter, full of evil. So he's saying, be careful how you walk, be careful how you live, is what he's telling us. And like it said in there, we should be careful because the time is short. So he's saying, make the best use of your time. And he's saying that we also live in days that are evil. So those are a couple reasons why he's saying, be careful in how you go forward in your lives in Christ. Then finally, in the last part here, he's saying that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, he wrote, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So what is debauchery? Well, it's talking about drunkenness and all kinds of things like that. But basically, debauchery would be the opposite of being filled with the Spirit. If we're living in debauchery, that means we cannot function as a spiritual child of God. So he's saying, don't go in that direction, but rather go in the other direction by being filled with the Spirit. That's what God wants for us. And then he gets a little bit more specific here with the final three verses as to what he means by being filled with the Spirit. So he says, one way you can show that is by addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So when singing is true singing, it's not coming just from the vocal cords, it's coming from the heart. So it's kind of like our heart is full of the joy of God in Christ, full of being forgiven, full of knowing that heaven is open for us. And now that's kind of overflowing in our singing. That's the kind of singing God wants us to have. So as we interact with other people, he wants us to do that from the heart. He wants us to do that with sincerity. He wants us to do that as we overflow with joy as to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 20, he says, another way we can show that we are filled with the Spirit is by giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So imagine if you're up on your roof and you fall off and you break a leg. Can you give thanks to God? Sure, you're still alive. You didn't break your neck. There are so many things to be thankful for, even with a broken leg. Hey, the broken leg is not forever and ever. In time, it will heal, and then you'll be okay again. So no matter what the bad situation is, there's always something to be thankful for. And I know the way I am. I'm kind of drawn toward the negative, and I can focus on the negative. That's not a good way to be. Rather, let's know that the negative is one part of the big picture. Let's see all the positive things. Let's give thanks to God for those. And let's also know, just like we read in Psalm 34 today, it said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So we could say, many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So as righteous people, ones who have faith in Christ, troubles will come, and God even permits them to come. But he says, though, I know about them, I am with you, and in my time, I will deliver you from them. So these are all reasons to give thanks to God. Finally, in the last verse here, he said, another way to show we are filled with the Spirit is by submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we don't submit to each other because of the other person, but we submit to each other because of our relationship to Christ, and out of a way to show honor and reverence for Christ, then we submit to each other. So we've talked in past weeks about how the body of Christ is supposed to be unified and function well together. And as we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that's going to allow the body of Christ to function in a better, more unified manner. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill us up, that you would suppress our old nature, that you would allow our new nature to emerge and rise and shine unto God's glory in all that we think, say, and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.